Om namo bhagavate narasinghaya namaste tejasi avir avir bhava vajjanaka vajrangsta karmasayan randhaya randhaya tamo grasa grasom svaha obhayam atmani bhuvishtam kshaum mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate grim yat kripa tadaham bande sri gurum dinatarinam. So today is the Tirubhava, the disappearance day of the great Acharya, the first founder Acharya of the Krishna consciousness movement in its modern version, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we have sung this song, Samparshada Bhagavat Viraha Janita Vilapa, by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And so I'd like to go over this song with you, and then we will speak on the glories of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Jiyani lo prema dana koruna prachur heno prabhu kota gela acharya thakur. He who has brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? So this is a song of lamentation written by Srila Narottam Das Thakur for his spiritual master, Srinivas Acharya. But Srila Prabhupada has requested us on any Tirubhava day of great Vaishnav Thakur that we should sing this song with the same sentiments of separation. Viraha, the title of this song, is Samsparshada Bhagavat Viraha Janita Vilapa. So Viraha means separation. So in a mood of separation, the devotee should sing this song on the day of the disappearance of any great Acharya. So today, being the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we may try to feel this sentiment of separation from him while singing this song. Kaha mora swarup rupa kaha sonatan kaha dasha raghunatha patita bhavan. Where are my swarup damodar and rupa goshami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunatha Das, the savior of the fallen? Kaha mora bata juga kaha kaviraj eka kala kota gela gora nataraj. Where are my Raghunath bata and Gopal bata, and where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Goranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? Pashani kotiba mata anale pashibo goranga gunera nidhi kota gele pabo. I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Goranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Srisoba songira sangi, je koilo bilas, se sanga na pai kande Narottama Das. Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Goranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born on September 1838 in Biranagara, in district of Nadia, in West Bengal. And he was born in a family which, although had in olden times some connection with Vaishnava Dharma, at the time he took birth in that family, there was practically no respect for Vaishnavism in that family, especially on his mother's side. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur has been called by Vaishnavas Daitya Kulera Prahlad, just like Sri Prahlad Maharaj appeared in the Kula. Kula means dynasty of the Daityas, the demons. So also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he appeared in such a family which was dedicated to material opulence, material enjoyment, with no thought for Krishna. Although in that family there was worship of Goddess Kali, as or Goddess Durga Devi, as is often practiced in Bengal. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spent his childhood in the mansion, the palatial mansion of his maternal grandfather on his mother's side. And that was a life of great opulence. And he was enrolled in school, and he began to learn in school, besides the normal studies of a boy going to a Bengali school, he also began to learn English at an early age. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's preaching in English is very, very, and a very, very important development in the Krishna consciousness movement, the spread of Krishna consciousness around the world. So that began, we see the earliest beginnings of it with Bhaktivinoda Thakur learning English as a young boy. Now, when he was 11 years old, his father died. And in the same year, his grandparents, they lost the title to their landed property. And so, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, suddenly there was a big change in his life, in that his whole family became poor. But still, somehow or other, they struggled to send him to school. He also got married. He was married when he was 12 years old to a girl who was 5. Now, we shouldn't misunderstand this. This doesn't mean that they took up household life at that age. But marriage means that the parents arranged the marriage. The marriage was sealed at that age so that when the boy and girl got old enough to actually live together and have conjugal relationship, so the relationship was already there. There was no need, as in the modern time, for the boy or girl to go to the nightclubs and start looking for their partner in life. This is the Indian system of marriage. So, in his teens, he was tutored. He was especially tutored by an uncle who had mastered British education. So from this uncle, he perfected his English. And then when he was 18, he was able to enter college in Calcutta. That was in the year 1856. And in 1857, when he was 19, he wrote his first epic poem. That poem is still to be seen today. It is called the Poriyed. It is a poem about the king, Porus, who was king of westernmost India at the time Alexander the Great invaded from Persia and began to conquer some provinces on the border of India. So Porus met Alexander. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote an epic poem about this king Porus. And it was published and received acclaim. So this was the beginning of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's literary career. Of course, at that time, his nitya siddha status, his status as an eternally liberated Vaishnava, had not yet manifested. So it appeared that he was writing about mundane subjects only. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at that time, in his late teens, early 20s, he was very much attracted to Christian theology. This was because he found the Hindu monism, the Advaita philosophy of Hinduism, impersonalism, very unsatisfactory. So this was, you see, his Vaishnava nature was beginning to manifest, in that he was reading the Bible and becoming very attracted to the teachings of Jesus Christ. So in 1859, he got a job as a teacher of English in Cuttack. That's a city in Orissa. So this brought him, Orissa is of course the province where the great temple of Puri, Jagannath Puri, is located. So by taking that job, he came in the vicinity of Jagannath Puri. And in 1860, this is when his religious quest, his quest to uncover the absolute truth, began in great earnestness. So beginning in 1860, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was reading many, many books He was investigating many, many religious sects that were prevalent in India at that time, including the Appa Sampradayas, the unbona fide branches of Lord Chaitanya's movement, the Gaudiya Vaishnava movement. So he came to the conclusion from his investigation that the best religion, the best theological philosophy had been taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at that time, in the 1800s, he could see that it was not very well represented. So he could not even find out a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was very eager to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and read for himself directly about the teachings of Mahaprabhu. But things were so topsy-turvy in Gaudiya Vaishnavism that he could not even discover a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita for years. He started looking for it in 1860. So then in 1861, his first wife died, and he took a second wife. And also in the same year, there was a very significant step in his career in that he became deputy magistrate, an assistant judge for Orissa. And there's an important pastime which will come shortly, which involves Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a judge. So finally in 1868, 7 years later, after he first started looking, he managed to acquire a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he began to study these day and night. Apart from his occupational service as a judge, he became totally absorbed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that's also when he began writing songs. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, of course, famous for his many Vaishnava songs. So as soon as he was able to study Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, his songwriting began, and he also began to give lectures on Gaudiya Vaishnava theology. So it was around this time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur performed one of his first wonders, in that in a village known as Champaran, there was a ghost that was living in a banyan tree. And this ghost was being worshipped by the local people, who were considering the appearance of this ghost in the banyan tree to be a spiritual phenomena. So the ghost, this is going on today also, in the New Age movement, there is a phenomena called channeling, in which persons, they open themselves up to some entity who speaks through them, and this entity will very often speak on some spiritual subject, tell the person about his lives before, or other persons who come to hear him. He'll tell them about their past lives, tell them about their spiritual evolution, tell them that we're all ultimately one, you see, and I am you and you are me, and we are all together in the light, which is God. So in the modern New Age, this type of Buddha worship is taken to be actually transcendental. So in the same way, in the late 1860s, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was deputy magistrate in Orissa, so he had jurisdiction over the activities of the people. So he noticed this, that in this one village of Champaran, they're taking this ghost to be guru, and they're listening to the ghost's instruction. The ghost is, of course, speaking all nonsense. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he engaged a pandit to read the Srimad Bhagavatam beneath that tree every day for 1 month. And because he was thinking, people are gathering there and they want to hear from this ghost, whatever nonsense this ghost is speaking. So let me have this pandit read Srimad Bhagavatam so that when they come there, they will have to hear the Bhagavatam. And this way they will actually be benefited. So the pandit read the Bhagavatam for 1 month, and at the end of that 1 month, that whole tree, a big banyan tree, it collapsed. It was suddenly uprooted and crashed over on its side. and that was the end of the ghost. So this was considered a great miracle. The people could understand that the message of the Bhagavatam is actually pure spirituality, and so powerful that it can drive out the inauspicious influence of ghosts. So in 1870, around 1870, then, as deputy magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was asked by the British government to investigate one Bisa Kishen, who is a powerful yogi, who was claiming to be the incarnation of Mahavishnu. And he had two fellows, two cohorts, who were claiming to be Brahma and Shiva. So Bisa Kishen used to go around and work wonders, work magic. And he brought many landowners, many landholders, rich, wealthy men, under his control. They were considering that he's Mahavishnu. And he was promising them that if you support me, if you back me, give me money, give me followers, give me women for my Rasalila, then I will, by my mystic power, drive out the British from Orissa. In this way, you will become very powerful, very independent. You'll no longer have to serve the British. And then together we can do as we like here. So they became very attracted by his message. So he was actually very popular because of this political side to his preaching. But follow me and we will drive the British out. So it was a very big movement. So the British government was naturally very concerned. So they asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur to investigate this man. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to his village. And this Bisa Kishen, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, he was sitting in front of a fire. He used to do like this. He would sit very close to a big blazing fire. And then he would lean. He had long hair and beard. And he would lean into the flames. And then he would withdraw his head. And he would make flames come out of his hair and beard. And so by doing this magic, people thought, oh, he's God. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, he was also showing such magic tricks. And then he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At this time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known as Kedarnath Dutt. This was his given name from his family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Vaishnava title that came later. This time Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not an initiated Vaishnava, although he was a great student of Vaishnavism. So Bisa Kishen addressed Bhaktivinoda, so you are Kedarnath Dutt. He immediately knew who he was. You have been sent here by the British to investigate me, but I warn you that I am most powerful. And if you try to interfere with my activities, you'll be in a lot of trouble. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a saintly person, he smiled and he very gently said, my dear Bisa Kishen, since you are known to be highly advanced, then why don't you come with me to Puri? That was the headquarters where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was stationed. Why don't you come with me to Puri? And together we can enter the temple of Jagannath and see the Lord. And Bisa Kishen, he laughed, he scoffed. He said, I am Vishnu myself. Why should I want to enter some temple and see some dead wooden statue? When I myself am that Jagannath. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, hearing this, became very angry. Because this is aparad. So then he decided, why should I quibble with this person? I've been asked to investigate his activities, so I will place him under arrest right now and take him to jail. And while he's under arrest, we can see what he's doing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur single-handedly arrested him. Although everyone was afraid of him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not, and brought him to jail. So there was a 18-day investigation. Many witnesses were called. It was a regular trial. And on the sixth day of the investigation, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's 7-year-old daughter named Kadambini, she became deathly ill. Practically, she was ready to die, ready to leave her body that night. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was not shaken. He cared for his daughter, and by the next morning, she was well again and playing in the garden. And then the next morning at the trial, this Bhishakishan, he announced before everyone, "Last night, I have shown my power in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur." And he was piercingly gazing at Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. "You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about. And if you do not release me, then your whole family will become ill and die, including you." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, "Yes, all right. Let us all be let us all grow ill, let us all die. But if you are a criminal, if this is proven in these proceedings, you will be punished nonetheless." So the trial went on, and on the 18th day, the night before the last day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he himself became deathly ill. But ignoring this, he got on his carriage the next morning, he rode to the courthouse, and he pronounced sentence. Bhishakishan is guilty for sedition against the government. And at that moment, one British doctor, Dr. Walter, who would prepare the prisoners for the sentence, he came forward with a big pair of shears, and he cut off Bhishakishan's hair and beard. So Bhishakishan, the whole time of the trial, 18 days, he had not eaten or drunk anything. He was in this way, showing his mystic power. He had not taken even water. And he was, you know, sitting very powerfully and speaking very strongly. And he had, you can imagine, he had thousands of followers who were thronging around the courthouse, and they were chanting his name, and they were demanding his release. But when his hair and beard were cut off, because his power was being kept there, he fell down stone cold on the ground. The effect of those 18 days of not eating, not drinking, suddenly hit him as when his hair dropped off of his head. And he fell down in a swoon. So in that condition, he was taken off to jail. And later on, he poisoned himself and died. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote an article in a magazine called Progress, on the Ativadi Apasampradaya. Ativadi Apasampradaya began at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a group of mystics who consider themselves to be incarnations of Vishnu, of Krishna. And this Bhishakishan, he was such an Ativadi. Ativadi means too great. They think themselves too great by thinking that they are incarnations of God. So he wrote a nice article on this Apasampradaya, warning everyone against their tricks. So, beginning in 1874, until Bhaktivinoda Thakur retired in 1894, it's about a 20-year period, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began to write very prolifically, many, many songs, many, many books. He was publishing them, and he was becoming known all over Orissa and Bengal as a great authority on Krishna consciousness. So also in that time, he established the Bhagavat Samstat. This is a group that was dedicated to hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So devotees would gather, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur would discuss with them the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, there was one great personality in Puri. He was known as the Siddha Purush, the perfect person, Raghunath Das Babaji. He was a Vaishnava Babaji, and he was very advanced, a very mystical sort of person. So he denounced Bhaktivinoda Thakur for starting this Bhagavatam class, this regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. He denounced him, and he warned the other Vaishnavas, "Don't go to this class, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's not really a Vaishnava, because Bhaktivinoda had not been initiated. So he was not wearing tilak, he did not have neck beads, So, but after making this denunciation, this Raghunath Das Babaji, he grew ill. He grew deathly ill. And then he had a dream. Lord Jagannath appeared to him and said, if you want to become relieved from this illness, then you have to go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and pray for his mercy. So then Raghunath Das Babaji came. This was a very big surprise in Puri, because he was such an outstanding person, considered by everyone a saint. He had denounced Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but then they saw he's going to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and falling at his feet. And by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blessing, he became cured from his disease. So this was a great advance for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission. Then in 1874, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati appeared as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been praying that I need a qualified devotee, actually a devotee who comes from the entourage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I need such a devotee to assist me in my preaching work. So, as an answer to his prayer in Puri, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati appeared. Then it was in 1878 that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation from Bipin Bihari Goswami, as a caste Goswami. And after that time, he was wearing the symbols of a Vaishnava, the tilak, the kanti mala, and so on. In the 1880s, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started his Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha. This is the precursor movement to the Gaudiya Math, which was started by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in the 1920s. And the precursor, of course, to ISKCON. So Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha was the first appearance of the Hare Krishna movement in its modern form. In 1887, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to go to Vrindavan. He wanted to leave everything. This was his plan. He wanted to leave everything and go to Vrindavan and stay there and just perform bhajan. But then he had a wonderful dream of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you can go to Vrindavan, that's very nice. But first you have some service in Navadvip. And what was that service? That service was to discover the exact birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after having this dream, he started to agitate. He started to demand that he be transferred to Navadvip. So, the British government, they were very reluctant, because he was doing so well in Puri, in Orissa. But it just so happened that finally his transfer came through. He could go to Navadvip, and immediately when he was in Navadvip, he began to research, read old historical records, and interview many Vaishnavas to find out the place of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one night, he had a vision where he saw in the distance an effulgence. And so he began to think that this is a sign from the Lord Himself that His place of appearance is there. So he investigated that place and he consulted records and so on. And finally he brought Sri Jagannath Das Babaji to that place, because he wanted this exalted Vaishnava to ascertain, to confirm that this place is the Yoga Peet, the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appeared. So Jagannath Das Babaji Thakur at that time was 130 years old. He was so old that he couldn't move. He was carried in a basket by his disciples. His eyelids were so droopy from old age that he couldn't even open his eyes by himself. They had to be held open by his disciples or tied with a cloth so that he could see. He was so old. So he was brought there by his disciples to that spot. And when he was sat down, the basket was laid down on the ground, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji jumped into the air. It is said he jumped 30 feet straight up. He began to dance around, shouting, Gaur Haribol, Gaur Haribol. In this way he confirmed that this is indeed the Yoga Peet. So we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji to thank eternally for their discovery of this site, which is now, of course, such an important place of pilgrimage for us when we go to Mayapur Dham. We always make that journey up the road to visit the Yoga Peet, and this is all by the grace of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In 1894, Bhaktivinoda Thakur retired from his professional life, and he went to Calcutta, and he was begging there from door to door to build the original temple, which was later on expanded by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, but there is an original Yoga Peet temple, which is still to be seen today. So that was built by Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally, going door to door and begging in the cloth of a renunciate. In 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur published a very significant book called the Gauranga Lila Smarana Stotra. It was a book in Sanskrit, but it had an introduction in English called The Life to the McGill University in Canada. And it just so happened that in 1896, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Thakur, made his appearance in Calcutta that same year. So that was a very significant year. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent out this English language introduction, which was part of a Sanskrit volume, to the West. And in that same year, Srila Prabhupada, who would bring the Krishna consciousness movement to the West, made his appearance. So in 1908, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Paramahansa Sannyas. And in 1910, he shut himself up in Jagannath Puri and entered into Nirjan Bhajan. That means he avoided connection with outsiders, and he just absorbed himself in the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. He did that for 4 years until 1914, when then he left his body on this very day in 1914. So this is a brief description of the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Vaishnava Acharya. As Prithu Prabhu was mentioning yesterday in his comments in the closing ceremony of the VIHE, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in one of his poems this wonderful statement that he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die, because Vaishnavas live on in sound, and living still, they spread the holy name around. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is living still in his Vani, his instructions, which were taken up by his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and passed on to Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And this same Vani, Gauravani, the Vani of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has been invested in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So as long as the disciples and grand disciples and successors for the next 10,000 years to this great heritage continue to carry this Vani purely, unchanged, to every town and village, then we shall continue to have the full blessings of such great personalities as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he was so convinced of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blessings. I remember once in Mayapur, he said, because he had inaugurated this yearly festival in Mayapur and Vrindavan, So his Western disciples were coming to Mayapur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, he said that, what can I do? I simply request them to come here to the holy Dham of Mayapur and take shelter of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I am always praying to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please. They have come because you have prophesied. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prophesied that in the 1880s that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread to the Western countries, and Westerners dressed as Vaishnavas with tilak, shaved head, dhoti, would perform kirtan on the streets. He made this prophecy in a magazine article in the 1880s. So Srila Prabhupada said that you have made this prophecy and now they have come. So what can I do? Please give them shelter. Please give them your mercy. And another time, Srila Prabhupada, when the Mayapur temple was opened that year, I think it was 1975, the opening of the first building, the building we now call the Lotus Building. So the opening of that building, one devotee had said to Srila Prabhupada, at that time Richard Nixon was president of the United States. So this devotee had said to Srila Prabhupada, perhaps we can have Richard Nixon come for this opening ceremony. I don't know why this devotee was thinking he could arrange such a thing. But anyway, he proposed this to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said that if President Nixon comes to the opening of Mayapur temple, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come. So Srila Prabhupada was always so convinced of the continued blessings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he made such statements that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving his Western disciples shelter. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come again if there is some great preaching success. So we should always strive for that, to have great preaching success. And he's such a wonderful personality, because he single-handedly he revived the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because at that time, Vaishnavism in the 1800s, Lord Chaitanya's movement had become cast with a bad reputation in the public eye. Because there's so many apasampradayas, so many sahajas who were proclaiming to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were engaged in all nonsense, degraded, illicit activities. So the educated class of men at that time, they were thinking, what is this Vaishnavism? It is a religion of fools. It is a cult, a sexual cult, a cult of intoxication. It had a very bad reputation. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he put the full weight of his good standing in society. He was a very important person in the British government of Orissa and Bengal. So he staked his whole reputation on the line to revive the genuine teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he actually created a revolution in Bengali religious culture. Then, of course, his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, carried on his mission and spread the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all around India by establishing 64 Gaudiya Mats in every province of India. And then Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, carried these same pure teachings to the West. So I would like to stop. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
I have two questions. Actually. My first question is this. Could you talk a little bit more about the relationship between Vaikunatha Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji? Because we have Jagannath Das Babaji here.
Yes. Yes, so Jagannath Das Babaji was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's most important Shiksha Guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in reviving the pristine, pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was consulting various exalted souls in Bengal and in Vrindavan also. But of them all, Jagannath Das Babaji was the leader of the Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to render services to Jagannath Das Babaji, take instruction from him, and of course Jagannath Das Babaji confirmed that the site that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had located was indeed the Yoga Peet. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initiated. He took Diksha from Bipin Bihari Goswami, who, as I said, is a caste Goswami. At that time in Vaishnava society, initiation, it was the custom that one take initiation from a member of this Jata Gosai, caste Goswami family. They were hereditary gurus. So as to not break this tradition, to be accepted himself as an initiated Vaishnava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Diksha from Bipin Bihari Goswami. And apparently, from what I understand, Bipin Bihari Goswami, he was a respectable person, respectable Vaishnava, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did not consider him, Bipin Bihari Goswami, to be really all that advanced. Because when Bipin Bihari Goswami would come to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he's the disciple, he would bow down to him. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would not. And so Bipin Bihari Goswami, he once, a little irritated, he asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, "Your father is bowing down to me, but you do not. Why is that?" And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, first of all, he said, "My father is bowing down to you because he has taken initiation from you, but you do not know his real position." Because actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his swarup, he is a Manjari associate of Lalita Devi. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he being pure Vaishnava, he understood this. And Bipin Bihari Goswami did not. He could not actually see the swarup of his own disciple. And then Bipin Bihari said, "Yes, so your father may be very exalted, but just see, he's bowing down to me, and you are his son. So at least by social etiquette, if nothing else, you should also offer your obeisances to me." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "I may offer my obeisances to you, but could you stand it? Would you be able to stand it if I did this?" So then Bipin Bihari, he desisted from his effort. So our disciplic succession, the Vaishnavas to whom we offer our service to Krishna, it is a siksha succession. So that means that the Vaishnavas who are listed in this disciplic succession, they're the most outstanding acharyas. It does not necessarily mean that between them that there is a diksha relationship. Sometimes there is a gap of many years, like between Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya. There's a gap of some 4,000 years. Of course, Madhvacharya went up into the Himalayas and he sought out Srila Vyasadeva, and in this way revived the connection. But Madhvacharya was initiated by Achyuta Preksha, not by Srila Vyasadeva. So this is the way our disciplic succession works. It's a shiksha succession, not diksha. And you had another question?
Oh, yes, Maharaj. You used to love the book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, The Enlightened Precepts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I heard some that you can actually get that book, so it's still available. Is it translated?
Well, he wrote the introduction in English. And yes, the book is still available. In fact, I believe in the introduction of the introduction of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Is it? No. Srila Prabhupada has republished this, I believe.
Extract in the BTG, we'll
yeah.
Extract.
Well, I know that it was found by a devotee in the McGill University. Now, whether or not it is still in the McGill University, I heard something about that devotee stealing it. And then Prabhupada said this was not nice, so I don't know if it was returned. Yes, at least some excerpts of it has been published. Whether I don't know where one can get this book, though. Yes?
You said the Bhagavad-gita.
No. It's Manjari. Manjari Associate of Lalita.
Manjari Associate?
Yes.
How is it the elevated personality and the sinner that he is born in the low family and gets also eating meat and not have that kind of thing? How is that?
Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's pastime, as expressed in his songs, was. His pastime was of a searcher, just like those of us who are joining the Krishna consciousness movement nowadays. We go through a search, reading books, going here and there, investigating, and then finally, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, taking up the chanting of the holy name and entering the society of Vaishnavas. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he displayed this pastime, the pastime of a seeker who, after much investigation, comes upon the message of Lord Chaitanya and takes it up. And by taking it up, even in spite of having a bad background, or apparently he didn't, but apparently he was coming from a fallen background, still, he became exalted in society as the leader of the Vaishnavas. So, we are to take inspiration from that. But there is no restriction. If one sincerely takes up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dedicates his whole heart and soul to it, then by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, despite so many, whatever may there be in the past, despite all of that, by Lord Chaitanya's blessing, he can become realized in the complete truth of Lord Chaitanya's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
He get married, yes. Well, it's standard Hindu marriage. You can go to India and see it. It means the parents arrange the marriage. A priest is, and a chart, astrology chart is made when the boy and girl are seen to be compatible. Then a ceremony is performed.
There's
a ceremony performed that marries them. But when they're that young, they stay at home with their parents. But when they get old enough, especially when the boy gets, the idea is when the boy gets old enough to fend for himself, to make some money, then his wife may come and live with him.
But the original marriage takes place when they are small.
Yeah.
Like before the priest, before the deity, they promise to make the house with him.
Yeah, some. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen this marriage. I'm a sannyasi, so I don't go to marriages, but it's the typical Hindu marriage. You just have to ask somebody from India how they do it. Child marriage. Of course, child marriage is not so prominent in Indian cities anymore. But I think in villages, they still marry them quite young. But up until the last generation, Prabhupada's, say Srila Prabhupada's generation, they were still getting married quite young. Yes? Yes. It means that if a person who is less advanced accepts obeisances from a person who is very much more advanced, then this is, this is placing that person accepting obeisances his whole spiritual life is being placed at risk. How can he accept obeisances from someone who's more advanced? How can he make that demand? So that was the point. Yes?
Sometimes he approaches quoting statements of Sri Bhakti Nata Purva and he comes from a certain time that he wasn't really fully manifesting himself as a Vaishnava. So how can we know? Because sometimes he looks on his sins while Bhakti Nata Purva says, so how can we know?
Well, Srila Prabhupada, first of all, he said we should read all his books. Actually, Srila Prabhupada once made the statement that a Brahmin in ISKCON, a real Brahmin, educated Brahmin in ISKCON terminology, would be a devotee who has read Srila Prabhupada's book, all of Srila Prabhupada's books, four times. So, first we should do that before we turn even to the books of predecessor acharyas like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This, what you're describing, this kind of, throwing around quotes, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that. This is done by persons who have not even schooled themselves in Prabhupada's books, so therefore they don't know the Siddhanta. When you want to give a quote, you have to know the Siddhanta. The Siddhanta means the perfect conclusion. Persons who just throw quotes around just to create an uproar. They see devotees are, it comes up. They see devotees are in ISKCON are doing things in a certain way, given by Srila Prabhupada, and then they bring in some quote from somewhere else that seems to contradict that, just to create an uproar. Well, so and so says this, but we're doing it this way. Isn't that strange? So we should become educated in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, his books, his lectures, his letters, and understand the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. And then we can understand what the predecessor acharya, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has written in such philosophical language. Very difficult to penetrate. As is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Very difficult to penetrate. Yes?
Many years ago in my work, Srila Prabhupada took devotees to the yoga pit. They had the memorial of Bhaktivinoda Thakur there. It was very near the road. Prabhupada began to weep. Mm. And the devotees asked him, and he said that because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an elevated Vaishnava, the memorial next to the road, as if he was a god or some low class fellow.
Sure. Yes?
Is it recommended for the Roman to stay directed to Proxima Sound?
Srila Prabhupada corrected his disciples when they would... I know of one instance when Srila Prabhupada corrected one of his disciples who was making a direct prayer to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So we have to go through the parampara. There's an offense called maryadya vyatikrama, to jump over. Jump over one's own spiritual master and try to have a relationship with a predecessor acharya directly. So we should avoid this. Yes? You had a question?
Oh, yeah. I've met everyone say that Bhagavad Gita is also a personification of the link between Western, the lame and the blind man, because he had the Eastern philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, and he was under British rule. He was all his normal duty. So, everyone say that that has a link.
Yes, you can think that way. That's nice. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I recall that he is said to have written some articles, because at that time in Bengal there was some agitation, Bengal and Orissa, to drive the British out. Actually, the movement to drive the British out, it basically began in Bengal and spread all over India from there. So, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was not for this. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was interested to preach to the Englishmen, because he could see they're powerful, they're influential, they have a worldwide empire. So if they become Krishna conscious, then the whole world will become Krishna conscious. That was his vision. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not... Of course, he would not be, as a Vaishnava, supportive of any political movement, but particularly this movement to drive the British out of India. He was not at all supportive. He thought the Indians should rather give the Englishmen their culture. Yes? Well, we should not speculate about the mind of great devotees. But as I said, his pastime was that of a seeker, one who was born into opulence, who received a Western education, and had access to all the literatures that were, you know, being published in Western civilization. He read, you know, all the great poets and philosophers and so on of 19th century England. That Victorian area was a great bloom of culture in England. Actually, England was the center of all European culture at that time. All the other countries of Europe looked to England for inspiration. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was totally immersed in that. He had all the advantages of that type of upbringing, but he was not satisfied. And then he began to search for some meaning in life. And when you study his life and you see how he came to Krishna consciousness, and how he came to understand the deepest truths of Krishna consciousness, without like we did, joining a already set up movement, you know, where the Siddhanta is being broadcast, you know, very clearly. Nice books are there, and you know, nice preaching is there, everything set up. No, at that time, as I said, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it was, in most people's eyes, it was equated with the worst Sahaja movements. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to sift through all of that and find the essence. So certainly no ordinary person could do that. Certainly he was being directed from within by Krishna. And then at the end of his search, he manifested his identity as a Nityasiddha Vaishnava. So whatever was going on in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mind, that we shouldn't speculate. We should never speculate in that way. But we should just appreciate such a wonderful, actually miracle, that he has performed. So are there any other questions? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Glories to the Lord.